Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He makes me to lie down in green pastures.
He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we do come before thee tonight because thou art he who is sovereign. Thou art he who is over all that is. And thy ways are right ways. There is none like unto thee, O Lord. We know that thou art he who loves us, and we praise thee for that truth. We ask that you bless us this night. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now, verse 4 again, Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Lord, we thank thee for this verse. Verse 4 is often used at funerals, as are other verses. Let me summarize. God leads and guides us in paths of righteousness, even though they lie amongst the darkest, most gloomy valley. He leads us through the deep, dismal regions where no light is, as if death had cast its dark, sorrow-filled shadow right there. But as he leads, it's still a right path, a path of safety that conducts us to sunshine beyond. And in that gloomy valley, there is the darkness of death. But God is by our side, taking us to safety. Still, unable in that dark, gloomy valley, though we could not guide ourselves, we'll not fear. We'll not be afraid of wandering. David wrote, I will not fear enemies there, for the good shepherd is there guiding me still. Now, Calvin wrote that true believers, though they dwell in safety under God's protection, are often exposed to great dangers, since believers are liable to the same afflictions that afflict all mankind. Thus, the believer can understand how much he needs the protection of God. We look out at the world and we see it in our eyes and in our hearts, and we say, I need God's protection. We call upon him for that protection. For example, if banks fail and bread lines become necessary, Christians suffer as lost people suffer. The believer knows he understands, needs the protection of God. If COVID suffering continues, Christian suffering continues. So we must pray for God's protection on his people and on lost people. David wrote that when adversity comes, that he would lean upon God's providence. David didn't mean, or he didn't promise himself continual pleasure on earth. Instead, he fortified himself with the help of God to endure the different calamities that came his way, with which we might be visited also. And when those calamities come, whatever they may be, an unsaved loved one dies, disease or sickness comes, or the loss of income, when calamities come, we look to the care of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. That's what Psalm 23 is about. And in Psalm 23, the Good Shepherd cares for his sheep with a shepherd's staff and crook, for they are the instruments God uses to protect the sheep, keeping them safe in the fold, free from harm. Psalm 23. David wrote of his satisfaction. He wrote of his satisfaction with God's, with the Good Shepherd's protection, which was sufficient for the protection of his life in the darkest of days, as the sheep wanders up and down in that dark, deep valley. The sheep is kept safe from attacks, from the attacks of wild beasts, or from harm in other ways by the presence of the shepherd alone. So David declares that as often as he was exposed to any danger, he would have sufficient defense and protection under the pastoral care of God. And that's the place where each of us must be, under the pastoral care of the Good Shepherd. Now, I'm pastor here at this church. It's a position God has given me, and he has brought you also to this church also. I'm not a David. Nevertheless, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad I'm here. Together in God's will, we'll make this ministry a success. And I emphasize three words there: in God's will. In God's will, this will be a successful ministry. And in God's will, we'll be protected, for we have the Good Shepherd's staff and crook leading us, protecting us, blessing us. We have plans for this summer upcoming for Vacation Bible School, for in the fall, early part of the fall anyway, Flight 93, things of that nature. And we even have a missionary coming in September, Hal Ricker and his family. Miss Evelyn has gone on to heaven, to glory, but he's coming with his son and his wife and their children, I think. They're driving an RV. I told him he could perhaps park it in the parking lot out there. Or they're going to probably be here from Thursday through Sunday. Or he could find some other place. Maybe somebody else has a place that he could park it. But they should be here. And I thank God for Hal Ricker and for his son and his wife and those two children. They're blessings to have. But this is the position God has given me. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. And I emphasize those three words: in God's will, this is going to be a successful ministry, as we do make plans for the summer and the fall and for the coming year. And in God's will, we'll be protected, for we have the Good Shepherd's staff and crook leading us, protecting us, blessing us, and we have his word directing us. We must use the shepherd's care as he protects his sheep like no one else can. Further, we need his word. The devil would like nothing more than to take the sheep down. Listen to the Bible in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. Well, let's read that. And let's this time read it responsively. I'll read the first verse. You take the second. I'll read the third. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9. We'll wait till everybody gets there. It's a passage you're probably familiar with. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I read that through from the King James, and you're using the New King James. I'm sorry about that. But Peter addressed the brethren, telling them that their best protection is humility under the mighty hand of God. Needless to say, God is strong while we are weak. And we like to think of ourselves as capable, when in truth we're all incapable. In that passage, Peter gives us great hope. For there is safety in God's hand, and God cares for us like no one else can or does. And as we're in his care, we must be aware of our surroundings. That's important. We must be aware of our surroundings, because the devil is out and about devouring careless ones who are unaware of the fiend's person and work. Now, we don't need to study the devil or his demons other than to know that they can be resisted. We can resist the devil. And they can be resisted because God cares for us. I look at this passage and say that this passage in 1 Peter is a forewarning for us. Perhaps God uses it as part of the shepherd's staff and crook. Let me explain that. Instead of his searching for us when we walk away from the right path that God has put us on and in which he leads us, he's forewarning us not to wander from the fold. Because by wandering from the fold, we open ourselves up to be devoured by the devil. The shepherd warns us so that he doesn't have to go looking for us, for those who go astray. In other words, God would have us prepared so that we would not wander off. Remember the word we used last week in Matthew 18, 12 and 13. I'll read the first verse. Would you please read the second? And I'll get it in the New King James so that we can be on the same page.
What was it, Matthew 18, what?
Matthew 18, 12 and 13. Matthew 18, verse 12 says, "What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep, and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying?
And if he should find it, assuredly, I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray."
I like those verses. The shepherd doesn't want our wandering away from the flock. Now, I know each one of us, in one way or another, at some time or another, I know that you have to leave the flock in order to go to work. But you're not of the world. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. And you can take the shepherd's protection when you go to work. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." In the darkest valley, in the bleakest environment, we still have the shepherd's crook and staff watching over us as we take God's way, God's word and way with us. Just after I was saved, I didn't want to go to work because I couldn't take the Bible with me. I had a little Bible I stuck in my back pocket, and on a break I'd read it, but that's not really what I wanted to do. I couldn't take the Bible with me. And then one day I realized that I could take the Bible with me if I memorized it or parts of it. So I put myself on my own memory course and went to memorizing scripture. It was and is a great help. David wrote that when we're in the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil. Why? Because we're trusting God, and God is with us. His rod and staff comfort us. In other words, God's watch care comforts us. And we have his word wherever we go. We know he's with us. We're memorizing his word. We memorize his word where we see his staff. That's not right. We memorize his word, and his word tells us of the staff, the shepherd's staff and crook. David declares that as often as he was exposed to danger, he would have sufficient defense and protection in being under the pastoral care of God and his word. And that's really what I'm talking about. God cares for us before we're even exposed to danger. What a comfort it is to know that every one of us can sleep soundly and undisturbed through the night. Perhaps. So what do we do? What do we do? We wrap ourselves in carnal security. That's what we do. We have nice, warm beds. Our doors are locked. Perhaps there's a gun under our pillow. We've taken every carnal security we can think of, but sometimes that's not enough. There's a great difference between the sleep of stupidity and the sleep of safety that faith gives us. It's hard to truly rest in God, but the one who is armed with steadfast trust can better resist calamities when they come. I doubt David meant that he was devoid of fear. Perhaps he meant that in God's grace he would conquer fear so that he wouldn't be afraid to follow whithersoever the good shepherd led him. That seems more likely to me from the context. He says, I will fear no evil. But then, immediately, he gives the reason for his confidence. He acknowledged that he would seek a remedy from fear by having his eyes fixed on the staff of the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd cared for the sheep. And with those words, David implied that his eyes would remain on the shepherd's crook. He wrote, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Therefore, I will keep my eyes right there. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. His word comforts us. We're going to keep our eyes on him, his word, his care. The rod and staff are the instruments with which the shepherd keeps the sheep safe. Therefore, the sheep should keep their eyes on those instruments. That's David's implication in verse 4. Now, I know that the sheep are helpless. Still, God has prepared a way for the sheep to feed in peace and comfort. And we're sheep in his pasture. We are sheep in his pasture. His rod and his staff are with us. Further, we have the added protection of his word and his indwelling spirit to guide us and to keep us. Even so, we still go astray. It's as if the grass is greener on the other side, so we get we go check it out. We neglect what God has given us to keep us in his fold. Maybe we even reject God's instruments of safety so that we can take a walk on the wild side. And God will allow us to do that till we fall by the wayside or till we wind up eating husks meant for pigs. The prodigal son did that. But when he came to his senses, he realized his stupidity. Luke 15, verse 16. Luke 15, 16. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Listen. God will allow you or me to wander from the flock. He doesn't force us to stay within the pen, the flock pen, or whatever you want to call it, the sheep pen. Perhaps that's so because God knows the end from the beginning. With the prodigal son, perhaps God knew that the young man would come to his senses and return to the fold by himself. God used that narrative for a lesson for that young man and as a lesson for you and me. Perhaps the husks prepared for the pigs were part of the Good Shepherd's crook and staff. When the boy realized his plight, he made a beeline back to the father, to his father. He was even willing to work for his food. But the father received him into his arms, cleaned him up, and put on a feast for him. His son had returned, and the father was happy. The father, or the people in that foreign land, didn't help him at all. But his father did when he saw him walking towards him at a great distance. He was ready for his son to come home. Perhaps there was rejoicing in heaven upon that reconciliation on earth. Wouldn't surprise me a bit. This is my meaning. God has nothing but good for his people. His sheep, that is. That's you and me. We must learn that before we go astray. We need to take lessons from the Word of God so that we don't end up in a hog trough or in some worse place. The devil is still out and about looking for his next meal. I'd hate to be part of his next meal. And he'll devour us if we're unaware. He'll devour us. One of us, if he doesn't resist him, using the instrument that God supplies. In other words, we must stay in the safety found in Christ's fold. Under the shadow of his wings, with our eye on the shepherd's rod and staff and on the word of God, and in fellowship with believers. It's good that we meet together during the middle of the week with other believers. 7 temples of God right here. Maybe we'll have 70 one day. Anyway, in God's will, we will. In fellowship with believers and in prayer, praise, and worship of our great God. We need all the instruments of safety that the Good Shepherd gives us so that we might be safe in the sheepfold. Let's pray. Tonight, because we love you and we have certain prayers in our hearts and minds, that we'd like to bring to your attention. You already know about them. but we'd like to voice them to you. At least we'll know that we've presented them to you. And perhaps that's the sense of what you would have as we pray. Bless us now, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.